Today on Real Life Radio.
No matter what the culture does regarding marriage, or no matter what you see depicted on TV around the world about how a woman ought to be treated, God says, no way. It is good for them to be one. It's good for them. God established and created them both. He didn't stamp one USDA approved and the other one not. They're both God approved and God blessed, but he says, you know what? It's not good that man should be alone.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. We all know that life is full of noise. The TV is on with news you often can't trust, dishes are clanging in the kitchen, and blaring sounds of rush hour traffic whiz by. It's enough to make your head spin, really. But it doesn't always have to be that way. We have special programming that can really soften the day's hectic pace. It's our Real Life Network. It's designed to give you relevant, life-changing programming for the whole family that you really can trust. Titles like Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire, Washington Watch by Tony Perkins, Happening Now with Pastor Jack, and Star-Spangled Adventures for the Little Patriots. You can relax and enjoy entertainment for the whole family. The Real Life Network, it's available on your favorite device anytime, anywhere, so don't miss a moment that really can enrich your life with shows that inspire instead of wear you down. Sign up today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now with a series called Life and Bible, and a message, being Christian while being a wife. In God's concept of design, we'll see how the husband and wife and marriage and family were all created and defined from the Bible. You see, the Bible tells us many things about what a Christian marriage should look like. One is that a Christian wife has been given a high position in life as a woman of power and has the unique responsibility of holding a lot of titles. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that a Christian wife is also described in the Bible as a life giver, a comforter, a prayer warrior, and an encourager. She works hard managing her household, but she's also an equal follower and lover to her husband. Now, in his message called Being a Christian While Being a Wife, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We know, Lord, by the world events, your Bible tells us that things are coming and that your coming is not all that far away. In fact, we pray, Lord, right now that we be ready to meet you. We have no guarantee that we'll see the sunrise tomorrow, but we do have the absolute guarantee that if we trust you, we will see you face to face. And so, Father, tonight, as we look through this series, as we march through this series, we pray that you'd bless it now to our hearts. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Grab your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and I got to tell you, if you're jumping in tonight and you have not been with us in this series, you're going to be wondering, what in the world is going on? Especially when I get to the title here in a second. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14 is the theme for this mini-series we're looking at regarding being a Christian, and tonight's title is Being a Christian While Being a Wife. And last week we looked at being a husband. And so I really shouldn't be up here tonight. My wife, Lisa, should be teaching all you guys tonight. But a lot of my notes and stuff has been through, Lord, what do I say? And going to the Word of God and then saying, Lisa, help me out here. Give me advice. And I think I can do that. She has stuck with me for 30 years. And that is a miracle in and of itself. To put up with a kook like me is a miracle. So I'm telling you right now, tonight, ladies, girls, if you're married or not, listen up. Wherever you find yourself in whatever situation, listen carefully. Because tonight we'll be careful to be looking at the Word of God and what the Bible has to say. And the temptation tonight, as it was for the men last week, but I think the men made it. Didn't they make it? Amen. Guys, didn't you stick through for the whole message? The ladies tonight, you're going to want to stick through because it is good for you. And you hold a very special place, according to the Bible, in the heart of God. Very, very special indeed. So the title, Being a Christian While Being a Wife, is what we're looking at. Colossians, Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. He writes this, chapter 1, verse 9. He says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, that is of their faith in Christ, 2,000 years ago, this church was flourishing there. He says, we do not cease to pray for you or to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, listen, and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, and I love it, who has, here it is, qualified us. That is incredible in the Greek language, that God did it all for us. Amazing. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That is, that Jesus Christ was the sacrificial lamb for our sins, even the forgiveness of our sins. So each week we've been throwing pictures up on the screens, and tonight we look at being a wife, and there's a brand new wife right there, and all the scenes that you would picture in your mind. There's a wife praying, and how much is going on regarding that. So many things that we look at, and they look very normal people. They're very common people. But what does it mean in our lives for us, or for you ladies, to be a Christian woman? But even, listen, more in light of what we're talking about, a Christian wife. What does that really mean? And you and I are very, very, or we should say, very committed and serious about fighting a post-Christian era. I believe, I know people don't want to hear this, but I believe that America is a post-Christian nation. We live in a post-modern culture, and that whole attempt is manifested in trying to redefine everything down to what human life is. We're hearing all about that right now. What about marriage? That anybody should be able to marry as many and or what they want to. None of us should encroach or try to impose that it should be a male and a female that ought to get married. God says, no, I got a plan. We live in a very strange time. But when we consider about being a Christian wife, what are we talking about and what does that look at? Number one verse, jot it down. Everybody get your pens out. This is a non-spectator service tonight. You're going to be writing these things down. And here it is. Number one thing that you look at, Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 3, 29. And this is written, by the way, by Paul the Apostle, who you know his past. He was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Jew that converted to Christ. And for that, the Jews wanted to kill him. He writes in Galatians 3, 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. How many of you are wives tonight? Raise your hands. Remember that tonight as we go through this study. God sees, and we need to break the way we see it, God sees a male and a female, a husband and a wife. He sees them absolutely co-equals. The Bible says that they are co-heirs with Christ. When we begin to get off on this cultural redefining that a man is somehow over the top, better and bigger because he's stronger, or whatever chauvinistic thing is spun in the society, that's wrong. And in like manner, when the society begins to communicate to us through whatever media platform there is that women are the most superior and we don't need men, that's the big thing right now. Women don't need men. Listen, you can say that all you want and you can shout that all you want. I happen to know what my Bible says, and God says that a man and a woman need one another. We certainly know that's true in culture. You can't have a family, you can't have a country, you can't have a state, you can't have a world without male, female. So we're going to be using the same outline that we applied to the men. That's fair, isn't it? Yes. To the ladies tonight, number one, jot it down. Number one point is this. A wife has been given a unique position. And what position is that that the Lord has established? Well, first of all, a woman has a special place in God's creation in that she is, by revelation in the Word of God, an elevated creation of God. Yes, Adam came first. And God says, because Adam came first, man has a special place regarding authority. And let me say, in that authority, the man's responsible for a lot of things. that God has laid on his shoulders. But in a co-equal environment, God has laid certain burdens, I'll call them, cares, concerns, on a wife's shoulders. We need to stop thinking that somehow one is greater than the other, because nowhere is that depicted in Scripture. But God has set an order in place. She has a unique position. Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife, her name Eve. That word in Hebrew is life giver, the one from whom life comes out of, because she was the mother of all living. Eve. At creation, the Lord had declared everything good. You've read your Bible. On this day, God said it was good. And on this day, God said it was good. And everything was good. Have you read it? Of course you have. All along through, it's good. God's going, that's good. This is good and that's good. Everything's good. And then on the final day, he goes, that's very good. And then the first thing that there's a break in the action about everything being so very good was what? What happened? God says there in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord said, it is not good. What's not good? You can almost hear the universe screeching to a halt. What? It is not good. The angels might have said, what's not good? It's been going so well. It's been going so well. He says, it's not good. That man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate, a complement. And then the Bible says in Genesis 2:22, that the rib which the Lord had taken out of Adam, he made into a woman, and he brought her to man. And Adam said, now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, according to God, to become one. Isn't that cool? Young kids tonight, if you're in here, I don't know, but you need to tune into the fact that no matter what the culture does regarding marriage, or no matter what you see depicted on TV around the world about how a woman ought to be treated, God says, no way. It is good for them to be one. It's good for them. God established and created them both. He didn't stamp one USDA approved and the other one not. They're both God approved and God blessed, but he says, you know what? It's not good that man should be alone. And how did God fix that? Most men will say, by giving him a Harley. We'll have to send security to that region of the church over there. Some might say, well, you know what? As long as I have a new car, you know, or whatever it is, or maybe it's money in my pocket. No. Hasn't life proven to all of us by now that you can have all those things and there's loneliness? And so then people embark upon some sort of bizarre definition of what a relationship will be. If I have these things, I want to have the benefits of sexual relationships with a woman, but I don't want to commit to marriage. Isn't that amazing? I've always found that amazing. That a man thinking like that wants the woman to commit herself sexually to him, but he's not going to commit anything to her. Ladies, if you're in that sort of a situation, you see these feet God gave you. You run. Oh, but he said he's going to marry me someday if I just give it up. You know what? You get up and you take off. Don't get sucked into that trap. It'll destroy your life. It does nothing but scar your soul. Listen, ladies, God has positioned you in a very unique place, and it is holy to God. Proverbs 31:10 says, a capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman. Who is he who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies and pearls. Listen, the heart of her husband trusts in her confidently and relies and believes in her securely. Isn't that awesome? That's the way a marriage ought to be, according to Proverbs. That's a very powerful statement.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Genesis, listen to this. There's a post-Eden warning. See, Jack, this all sounds great. I know, but hang on. It sounds great, you're saying, but what's the reality? And here's the reality. I love the Bible because it's so incredibly honest. Get your pen ready. You're going to want to write this down. Genesis 3:16, the latter end of the verse, it says this: God is speaking and it's post-fall. Adam and Eve have messed up. And God says, listen, your desire, this sounds great on the surface. It's pathetic though. It's English. This is what it says in English. Your desire shall be for your husband. Doesn't that sound great? Yes. Well, it's not great. Just wait for a second. And he shall rule over you. Say, hey, what's the deal? I'm to have a desire for him, but he's to rule over me. Well, actually in the Hebrew, it means this: your desire is to run ahead of and be controlling over your husband. But he, in contrast, will attempt to rule over you. Is that not what we're seeing in the world today? Is there not this battle? Listen, when Christ is not in a relationship, there is a battle of the wills. You know what? This is what we're going to do it my way or whatever. And every couple goes through that. I mean, Lisa and I got married as a Christian couple and we still went through that. I love to take drives. I don't get to do it anymore. Don't have the time to, but I used to love to take drives. And so we were newly married and I, as you know, my heart, I love to be down along the beach or and along anywhere I can smell salt water. And so for us, it, you know, get up on Saturday morning and it would be, hey, let's take a drive to San Diego. And she would say, no, let's take a drive to Santa Barbara. Well, those are, I don't know if you checked the map, those are in two opposite directions. And we got married young. You would think, you know, when you're just young, you just get along. You're just too young to know any different. And she was 19 and I was 21 and we're going to San Diego. No, I think we're going to go to Santa Barbara. And did you know that you can have an argument over what should be a very blessed day? It actually happens. From things as subtle as that, there's a battle of the will that begins to take place. And if those things are not resolved, you know what the Bible says regarding your husband and wife? Make sure that the sun does not set upon your wrath. That means settle your argument with your husband or your wife tonight before you go to bed. Y'all know why? I don't know why I just said y'all. But do you know why? Because when you're in an argument and you go to bed and you wake up in the morning, the bed may be a California king, but it ain't big enough. Have you noticed? You feel like you're 1,000 miles separate from that person that you love and that God has ordained for you to be with till the Lord comes back or until you die. What is wrong? You're one flesh. God has brought you together. But there is this warning. There will be within the woman, the wife, a strong, driven desire to take the lead or take the reins from her husband in life. And you say, well, Jack, that means just all of us husbands, we just need to buck up and grab those reins and hang on to those babies and never let go. That's not how you're, believe me, that's not how you're going to win. In fact, it's not about winning, believe it or not, as so much of what we understand when Jesus said, if you want to save your life, give it up. We call those his divine contradictions. They're amazing. You want to live? Yes, Jesus, I want to live. Then you know what? Then just surrender. What? Yeah, that's it. You want to have a blessed marriage and a great experience with what God has brought the two of you together for? Quit. Quit trying to be the one who always wins. Quit trying to be the one that has got to be the last word in the argument. Because, listen, the Lord will not be in it. And left unchecked, it will create a very, very bitter place. It ought not to be. Number two, a wife has been given a unique responsibility in a marriage. Unique. And according to the Bible, the woman, Eve, her name, ladies, in a sense, you are a creator, you are a comforter. You look at a woman's work detail is amazing, but look at a wife's detail. And then if you had a kid onto it, a child, oh my goodness. But think of a woman. She's been designed to create. She's a comforter by nature. She's a worker. She's a leader. Guys, let's be honest. Women by far have more leadership skills than most men have ever walked on this planet. It's true. But God says, no, we're going to let the dopey guys try to figure it out. Women are amazing. Once in a while, a George Washington comes along and it's like, you know, if he lived today, he would have the cell phone, typewriter going and all this kind of stuff happening. But God has positioned a woman in a very special spot, and she's got leadership, management skills, and on top of it, she's a follower. She's been asked to follow. She can be a banker. She's to be a lover. And again, as I said, if she's a mom, she's got the kids to take care of. Especially when you have young children. It's like herding cats. It's impossible. And then the husband's supposed to come home and she's supposed to look incredible. And he's going, hey, come on, let's go make out in the room back there. She's, well, you know, he hasn't eaten yet. And this one's diapers all full and this and that. And help me out. Help you out. I've been working all week. I remember, Lisa knows this, she's sitting right over there. I remember we had babies and I was healthy, and one day I got sick and I had to stay home from work. Let me tell you something. I got healthy quick and I went to work because it was so hard being at home and taking care of what happens inside of a house. That's if you have kids. But God has called a wife to have an amazing, unique responsibility. Proverbs 31, 12. She comforts, she encourages, and listen, and does her husband only good all the days of her life. Wow. Proverbs 31, 27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. She's very excited about having a home. A Christian wife is a praying woman. People will often say, you've heard me say this before, you know, when you're doing premarital counseling with a couple, they think that God has brought them together that they might be happy all the days of their lives. Happy ever after. And that's cool though, if that happens. That'd be sweet. That's great. But that's not why he brought you together. He brought you together to make you holy. He brought you together to teach you how to be a servant like he is. He brought you together to show you a model between his love and his relationship with the church. It's amazing. The Bible says in the Old Testament that Yahweh, God, is married to Israel. And the New Testament says that Christ Jesus is engaged to the church, the bride of Christ. Why would God reveal his desire to mankind in terms of a marriage? Because on earth, it's the most holy, sacred thing that we can get to until we get to heaven. You ever think of that? That's the way it should be. That's the way God wants it. It's an amazing thing. But a unique responsibility, I believe, that a Christian woman praying, and this is a tough call for some of you ladies here tonight because you've been praying for your husbands and they've been lost for years. They won't come to church. They make fun of you when you come. I know you've told me. And when you go home from church on Sunday or Wednesday, they make fun of you when you get home. And you keep putting up with it, and you just keep praying. See, what do you got a new word for me tonight, Pastor? Keep praying. Something will happen. Something will happen. He may wake up tomorrow and his mind has changed. You know what? He might stub his toe. He might get in an accident and break his nose. He might hear some news from the boss about this or that. I don't know what it is. I don't need to know. You don't need to know, frankly, either, as long as you say, Lord God, just save my husband. Open his eyes to your love.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Wife. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of the Christian life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, we've been talking about the book, The Eclipse of God by Erwin Lutzer. And you're pretty familiar with Dr. Lutzer, aren't you?
I ran into him first ever at the National Religious Broadcasters Gathering, and we just had a tremendous time and have since. But this book is powerful. Davey, listen to the subtitle of this book.
Go ahead.
The Eclipse of God, subtitle, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity. And then in parentheses, he writes, and what we must do about it. Mm. This is a book that is a wake-up call. It's so powerful. And I don't want this to scare anybody away, but it's easy reading, but it's scholarly done. And I don't expect anything less from him. He's a brilliant, brilliant man of the word.
Basically, he's talking about society's attempt to make God more sin-friendly. I thought that's kind of an interesting way to put it.
You know what? There's a word out there that correlates with that, and that's the word woke. Making God woke.
I got, yeah.
Making God cool. Making God, you know what? My God's pretty amazing. Yeah. I've got my Costco card. I've got my prescription or subscription to this or that. And I got a really, really convenient deity. He approves of everything I do, loves everything that I decide to do, and he gets behind me and champions me on rather than really the cross of Christ, repentance from sin, and new life in Jesus. You know, listen, this book is going to be
a shark, smelling salts. You know, Davey, when you're going down the hallway or something like that, and you hit your funny, what's it called? Your funny bone.
Yeah.
I don't know why they call it that, because it hurts.
It hurts. Ain't no, no.
But boy, does it get your attention. This book will get your attention.
The Eclipse of God. Once again, available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.